On a day in early July, my Uncle Silas and I harnessed a little brown and cream pony, the one that could take lumps of sugar off the top of your head, and put her in the trap and drove over the borders of Huntingdonshire, where a lady named Gadsby had a long, rambling orchard, surrounded by stone walls on the top of which bright yellow stone crop lay, like plates of gold.
"Is she an old lady?"
I said.
"Mrs. Gadsby?"
She ain't old," my Uncle Silas said. "And she ain't young. She's a widow." Even though I was very small, I knew quite well what widows were. Most of the widows I knew lived in almshouses. They were either very portly and jolly, or they were very thin and vinegary, with thousands of little cracks all over their shiny porcelain faces, just like old cups, all of them dressed in black. Most of them suffered from asthma, rheumatics, arthritis, or something equally crippling, and a few of them actually walked with a stick, and sometimes even two.
"Does Mrs. Gadsby walk with a stick?"
I said. "Well, I ain't seen her with one," my Uncle Silas said.
"Those old ladies in the almshouses walk with sticks," I said, "and they're widows."
"Well, there's widows and widows," my Uncle Silas said. "Just the same as there's apples and apples. Some are a sort different from others."
"How do you tell the difference?"
"Well," my Uncle Silas said, after some interval of thought, during which he spat twice over the side of the trap in a long, swift streak that went straight over the hedgerow. "If you were going to tell whether an apple or a sweet un, or a sour un, what would you do?"
"Taste it."
That's just what you do with widders. Get up there!" As he said this, he flicked the reins over the pony's back, and we started to roll along at a smart pace. The day was hot and sunny, and in the meadows over the cow pancakes there were brown, sizzling crowds of flies. Presently, my Uncle Silas spat again, and said something about getting a craving for someone to wash the dust down. And I thought this was a very good opportunity for me to spit too. I wanted very much to spit like my Uncle Silas, in that fantastic way that went as straight as a white bow shot for 5 or 6 yards. But most of mine landed on the mudguard of the trap, and the rest down my shirt. My Uncle Silas was very angry. "Now don't you get a spitting like that again," he said, "else I'll ding your ear. Miss Lady, we're going to say don't like little boys what spit, see?" I said I did see, and he went on. "Now just you mind your manners when we get there. And another thing, when I ask you to make yourself scarce, you make yourself scarce. Miss Lady don't like little boys what keep appearing and a-peeping and a-popping up all over the place when folks are talking, see?"
"Yes, Uncle."
"All right, then. See as you do. Damn it, get up there. We ain't got all day." I was so used to seeing my Uncle Silas with a pleasant, beery, winking look on his face that I was quite upset to see him shocked and angry. For the rest of the journey, I sat quite silent, sorry I had offended him, and determined to behave as well as I could when we got there. Not long later, we came to within sight of the orchard, with its stone walls and yellow stone crop, and the square stone house standing between. It looked a very pleasant house, with beds of white and purple stocks outside, and big white trees of orange blossom about the door. And I said,
"It looks a very nice house. What are we going for?"
"We're going to taste the widow's apples," my Uncle Silas said. I suppose it must have occurred to me that apples in early July are not quite ready for tasting. But I said nothing, determined to be on my best behaviour, and soon my Uncle Silas was knocking on the door of the house, opening it and calling inside.
"You there, Miss Gadsby? Anybody at home?"
At first I thought there was nobody at home. There was no answer from the house, even when my Uncle Silas called a second and then a third time. Then somebody laughed from the direction of the orchard. I turned to look, and there, coming up from under the big ancient apple trees, carrying a basket of raspberries in one hand and a basket of fat, shining red and white currants in the other, was the widow. She was not dressed in black, as other widows were. She was not walking with sticks, and her face was not like an old cracked cup. She was wearing a white blouse, with pretty leg-of-mutton sleeves, a dark blue skirt, and a belt of black patent leather. Her skin was very creamy, and her eyes, which were wide and bright, shone gaily with greenish fires. In her ears were rather big, dangling earrings, also black, made of jet, and every time she laughed, which she did a great deal, they trembled, swinging up and down. But the most wonderful thing about her was not the earrings, the green eyes, the leg of mutton sleeves, or the gay, fruity way she had of laughing. It was her hair, piled up high on top of her head, like a bright, red-gold crusty loaf, all fresh and twisted from the baker's.
"Well, come inside, dear. Come inside. Come and take the load off your feet. And who is this fine big young man?"
Lizzie's boy."
"Well, well, how are you, dear? Come inside. Do you like raspberries? Come inside."
Soon we were inside the house, in a pleasant room full of mahogany tables and easy chairs and white china dogs on the mantelpiece, with my Uncle Silas not only taking the load off his feet, but washing the dust down with a glass of greenish-yellow wine.
Very nice mouthful of cowslip,
he said several times.
It should be, dear, she said. It's the 5-year-old.
I ain't so sure, my Uncle Silas said, holding the glass up to the light, as it ain't a shade better than the elderberry.
Oh, no, she said. Do you think so, dear? The elderberry's only the year before last, dear. It's not ready.
You can never tell if anything's ready until you taste on it.
She laughed a great deal at that, in her wonderfully gay, rich fashion, her red hair seeming half to topple off her head like an oversized loaf, and the black earrings dancing. And soon she and my Uncle Silas were tasting the elderberry wine. It was very difficult, as I could see, to decide whether the elderberry wine was better than the cowslip or the other way round, and my Uncle Silas tasted several glasses while making up his mind, rolling the wines round his tongue, cocking his eyes about the room, his cheeks growing steadily more and more like the flaring gills of an ancient turkey cock. He gradually took on a great air of ripe, saucy charm.
"Another piece of caraway cake, dear?"
While my Uncle Silas and the widow were drinking wine and eating caraway cake, I was eating caraway cake and raspberries. The caraway cake was very buttery and very good, and my Uncle Silas took another thick, fresh slice of it.
"How do you find the cake, dear?"
"Well, I'll tell you. In one way it's proper Moorish, and another way it ain't."
"Oh,"
she said, and I thought she seemed a little shocked to think that her caraway cake could be criticised.
"You really mean that, dear? In what way?"
"Well, it goes down quite tardy, except for one thing."
"And what would that be, dear?"
The seeds get stuck in your gullet, and you gotta keep a-washing on them down."
Again she laughed in wonderfully rolling rich peals, and soon she and my Uncle Silas were washing down the caraway seeds with more and more glasses of cowslip, her eyes shining more and more brightly with amazing greenish fires. All this time I'd been wondering if it wasn't time at last to go into the orchard and taste the apples. Perhaps my Uncle Silas read my mind about this, because suddenly he turned a solemn eye towards me and said,
"Boy, you recollect what I told you?"
I recollected. I hadn't forgotten how well I had to behave myself, or that, when the time came, I had to make myself scarce.
"Do you like gooseberries, dear?"
the widow said to me.
"You'll find beautiful gooseberries at the far end of the orchard."
"Yes," I said.
"That's it," Silas said. "You gooseberry off for half hour or more. Gooseberry off until you bust."
I knew that my Uncle Silas was fond of gooseberries too, and I said, "Shall I bring some back for you?"
Not just now. We ain't gooseberry hungry, are we?"
And as he looked at the widow, I thought he winked at her. Down at the far end of the orchard, I lay in the long, seeding summer grasses and ate gooseberries, until, as my mother would have said, there were gooseberries coming out of my eyes. Some were pure golden, others were reddish pink, like grapes. But they were all luscious as I squirted the warm, sweet seeds on my tongue. But after a time, as it grew hotter and hotter, and the midday air quieter and quieter, except for the sound of grasshoppers and the voices of yellow hammers in the hedgerows beyond the wall, I grew tired even of ripe gooseberries, and I started back for the house. The orchard branched off halfway down it into a disused stone pit. Under the grassy banks in the pit, the air was very hot and still, the shadows dark and compressed under the high old trees. As I drew level with this part of the orchard, I became aware of something very remarkable going on there. Laughing and shrieking, my Uncle Silas and the widow were running races under the trees. My Uncle Silas had taken off his coat and collar and was running in his stockinged feet. The only thing the widow had taken off was her belt, unless my Uncle Silas had taken it off for her, because it was he who held it in his hands.
"Get up there, gal," he kept saying. "Get up there."
Every time he said this, the widow gave her rich, fruity peals of laughter. And when I last saw her disappearing beyond dense masses of apple boughs at the far end of the stone pit, she was only a yard or two ahead of my Uncle Silas, and all the big red loaf pile of her hair was tumbling down.
"Get up there, gal,"
he was calling.
"Get up, me old booty."
It was late afternoon before my Uncle Silas and I drove home again. The air of July was still very hot, and now and then my Uncle Silas belched into it a fruitier, riper breath of wine. I did not know at all what to think of the races in the orchard, and at last I said, "Did you taste the apples?"
"Ah," he said.
I thought for a few moments before asking another question, and then I said,
"Were they sweet or were they sour?"
"Sweet," he said.
"All of them?"
"Every jack one on 'em," he said. "Unaccountable sweet."
Somehow, I could not think that my Uncle Silas, what with the cowslip wine and the elderberry wine and the caraway cake and the races with the widow in the orchard, had had time to taste every jack one of the apples.
"But did you taste them all?"
I said. With tender rumination, my Uncle Silas stared across the dusty hedgerows of wild rose and meadowsweet, lovely in the evening sun, and belched softly with sweetish cowslip breath before he answered,
"No, but the widow told me how sweet they all were, and a widow with a good orchard ought to know."